For he is Lord. From the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much for all of you coming tonight. I trust that God will reward your efforts and grant the desire of your heart. Now, I announced Sunday night, the Lord willing, that for the next Wednesday nights or during this month of May, of course, this is the last day of April, but starting tonight and for the next three Wednesday nights, I wanted for us to have a study and to have Brother Branham deliver us his Sunday school lesson, which he taught the tabernacle in Jeffersonville, July the 28th, 1963, which he called Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Now, in order that I know that it's difficult sometimes for me to just pull this on your surprise. I study this, I read it, I have a motive, I feel led to do it. Unless I just explain it to you why I feel that way, well then I'm just asking you to listen to a sermon, but maybe if you understand why I feel led in this direction, it might have a little bit more meaning to you. You know, in Brother Branham's ministry, we have 1,182 of his tapes, and I know that when you go and you talk to pastors or the different brothers and so forth, there's most of the discussions going on right now is somebody's always trying to explain what's happening and what day we live in and what's going to happen and what's a prophetic thing. That always seems to be the most exciting part of things. It's so much so that if anybody writes a book on prophecy like a Jerusalem Countdown or The Late Great Planet Earth, they become bestsellers in Walmart because everybody wants to know what's this mysterious thing, what's happening. And in Brother Branham's series of messages, I would say that from my experience and discussion, that if you start talking to brothers about it, one of the most popular sermons that are coming up is, sirs, is this the time? They want to know, well, they'll tell you, well, Brother Branham said this and this and this, and this is what's happening, this is what it, and almost everything they believe, they take somewhere or another from that is the basis of why they say this is what we're doing. But to me, when I read Sirs, This is the Time, Brother Branham asks more questions than he gives answers. He says, what do you think? I don't know. I don't even know whether this is true or not. But and it seems like that's what people want to major on. But Brother Branham preached that sermon. Then he felt led of God to come to Tucson. He came here, and he was here for a few weeks. And he had his experiences up in Sabino and in Phoenix. And then he goes over to Sunset Hunting in March. And he has the experience of the seven angels coming. And he goes back to Jeffersonville. And I've got a list of all of his sermons here chronologically. And he's in Jeffersonville from he goes to Houston on March the 4th to help that boy get off of death row. And on March 17th, he's in Jeffersonville, and he preaches God in Simplicity. Then he preaches the breach between the church ages and seals, and then he preaches the first six seals. Then he's got a question and answer. And then that Sunday night of the 24th, I think it is, he talks about the seventh seal. Brother Branham leaves there, and he comes to Albuquerque for two sermons on the 12th of April. He goes to Sierra Vista and preaches Victory Day, then Looking to the Unseen in Phoenix. Then he preaches about six sermons in Tucson. Graduation over here to a group of people, Jesus Christ the Same, Greater Than Solomon, God Manifest, Be Not Afraid, Conference and Standing. And then he goes back to Jeffersonville on June the 23rd and preaches Standing in the Gap, Flashing Red Light, Why, greater than Sodom, and then he's in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and preaches four sermons. Then he goes back to Jeffersonville, preaches Third Exodus in June. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Indictment. Then Why Christ Speak. You've heard all these sermons by name. And then Humble Thyself, Paul, a Prisoner of Christ. And I want to mention that one because Brother Branham in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, he tells us you need to hear that sermon. Because how can we ever come to let the Holy Spirit have total preeminence in our life until we realize that we must become prisoners or a prisoner of the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our life? So I tell you that because I want you in your private study and reading and to hear a tape, you're going to listen to one, listen to Paul, a Prisoner of Christ. Then he cares to you, warning them judgment. And then on July the 28th, he preaches Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And that's the one we're going to do. And it's one of his, it's the second longest sermon he preaches. I think the longest one, Spoken Word's original seed, it was 6 hours. He took two services to that one. But this one, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, is 240 minutes long. That makes it 4 hours long. And I'm not going to take you through the 4 hours all at one time, but I want you to understand that I believe that Brother Branham says some things in this sermon that's absolutely essential for your blessing, for you to understand what God's doing. Because when he makes a statement that this has been God's purpose from the beginning, and in this day, we can understand this.
Amen.
Well, you know, if that's been God's plan and that's been God's purpose, then, hey, if you can find out what God wanted to do, then we can unlock a secret here and find out that Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
But this is the age where the scripture does say that all those things that have gone off into error will be corrected, or he will restore all things. Revelation 10:7 says the mystery of God should be finished.
Yes.
And people have made that mysteries. And so there's people that they think they have all the answers. They can explain everything. And it's like I said to the congregation Sunday morning, this is the only generation that I've ever read about in history that can claim they understand all the mysteries. And Paul must have been talking about us as a people, because when he said in 1 Corinthians 13, and Brother Robert preached about Sunday night, he said, though you give your body to be burned and do all this, and though you understand all mysteries, and this is the only generation that's ever claimed to know all the mysteries.
Right.
And it said, then if you don't have charity, you have nothing.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to do is to eliminate that, to let you understand, yes, you have an opportunity to know more than any generation's ever known. But if you don't understand what God's doing, then how do you even know you got it right?
Amen.
So this sermon's been printed for years. It was printed in volume 3. That means it was printed in 68. We printed volume 1 in 66, volume 2 in 67, and in 68 we printed volume 3. That year there were more individual sermons printed than any other year. There was 28 sermons plus the seals printed that year. So it was 38 sermons. That was almost one a week. And I've always pointed out that's the year that Brother Douglas McHughes was in charge of the printing operation. Brother Borders was the editor, but Brother McHughes is the one who organized us all and got it all done. And I've always said that he produced more in that 1 year than he had in the other 2 years put together. So I think that was really a calling that he had, and I give him credit for that. But tonight we're going to start with Christ as a Mystery of God Revealed. We're going to have it on the screen for you so you can do that. But I want to just mention some things that sort of a brief outline that I think maybe if I mention it to you, then you will observe them when they come along. You'll see that. It might help you. Brother Branham starts out with a prayer, and then he has he dedicates a bunch of babies, and we're going to eliminate that part of it, make maybe the comments, but we'll eliminate that 20 or 30 minutes that he prayed for those babies. But then Brother Branham makes some comments about Jeffersonville. And you know, he lived there most of his life from the time he's 3 years old, but he talks about the climate and how it affects him. I was really, really informed. I'd heard this before, but I guess I never had really paid the attention how it actually affected Brother Branham physically. Talked about it made him nervous, and he had hives and things like that, and he came back there. And then Brother Branham, at the beginning of this too, he makes probably more comments about the tax case, how and why he had that problem. And you know, from 56 to 61 was the lowest point of his life when they accused him of owing over $300,000 in income, back income tax. And of course, he, in the meetings and all, the brothers would bring him the checks that people give to the association, and he'd sign the back of it, William Branham, William Branham, William Branham, and then they put him in the bank, and he never did. But IRS ruled that, okay, that 10 seconds that you had that check in your hand, it belonged to you. It was made out to you, and you owned it, and you signed it. During that 10 seconds, it was income to you, and you should pay taxes on it. And that's what they got him on. He couldn't deny it. If you know, even though it was made out to that's the reason you make your checks out to the church or something like that. But if you make it out to an individual, and that individual takes it and endorses it, Internal Revenue Service can say, that belonged to you, so you pay income. Now, you could turn around and deduct it, but if you didn't do that, then they'd get you for income tax evasion. And that's a thing that they got Brother Branham on and created the problem. But you know what? All things work together for the good of them that love God.
Amen.
Brother Branham, after it's all said and done, he said, I wondered why these things happened, but he said, I looked in the Bible, and he says, every man that was used of God in the Scriptures, without exception, had trouble with the government. So, you know, we can establish this doctrine. If you haven't had trouble with the government, you're not a man of God. But if you had... if you've had trouble with the government, then you're a man of God. So, you know, that's my humor, you know. But Brother Branham makes these comments. But then it's not very much that he says, but I want you to notice it tonight, that Brother Branham's talking about Brother Unger, and he talks about Brother Vail. And see, Brother Branham had left Jeffersonville and come here and had left Brother Neville in charge back there. And there was a lot of people, you know, well, hey, you know, Brother Branham's my pastor, and I don't want, and Brother Branham is trying to get the people to accept Brother Neville and his authority and so forth. And it's that way. A lot of people follow a man rather than the Holy Spirit. But Brother Branham was even talking about, he was talking about doing this and everything else. And there was a brief supernatural experience where Brother Branham said that there was a voice came to him and said, come back to Arizona. And Brother Vail and him were witnesses to this. And he was back there and he was doing, helping the people and everything else, but he felt not only the first time he came by vision, but even his coming back to Arizona, he felt led by the voice of God to do that. And this brings Brother Branham into the idea of angels, and he talks in here about angels, the first thing that God created. And then he makes a statement, you know, that the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. And I want you to notice this, because you see, a lot of people don't believe in angels, but the Bible teaches it.
Amen.
Brother Dale Knight brought me a quote tonight, and I was showing it to Brother Robert and Brother Newton and Caleb M. in the office, and Brother Branham is making the statement about the Catholic people. He was up in northern New York in a meeting, and he went to see one of his uncles. And Brother Branham said something about his people were Catholic people. And he said, they find it easier to believe because they're taught to believe their priest. And he said, many times in the meetings, he said, people receive their healing, he said, because if they're Catholic, because they believe that I had a conversation with an angel. Now, you take a lot of pride, oh, we don't believe an angel do that. Well, then, If people are not going to believe what Brother Branham said, then how are they going to get any good out of it?
Right.
Didn't the angel of the Lord say, if you can get the people to believe you, then nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer?
Right. It's
the same thing. You know, if you don't believe the testimony your brother's given, what good's a testimony?
Right.
When I went to Haiti, I wasn't any different there than I am here, but they believed my testimony of what I'd seen and heard, and in their simplicity of their faith, they believed, and miracles happened.
Right.
Where here I could talk, I'm blue in the face. Well, I've heard that before. And we don't realize it, But we want to doubt more than we believe. But Brother Branham went on in this quote, and we got it twice, 48 and 56, and I'll probably give you a copy of it Sunday. But Brother Branham said that his great aunt founded a convent in Montreal, and that she's buried there. When I knew this, but I'd never thought about it, but I'm going to research it and find out where this convent is, and then I can start a doctrine. You know, everybody ought to go back to a Catholic convent. But you know, people do that. But Brother Branham said they believed him quicker and easier on his testimony because of their background of being taught to believe the priest. Brother Branham said in Mexico they'll accept this message because they've been taught all their life to believe the authority of one man, the Pope. Well, if you go down there and you give them the authority of the word of a prophet, they believe it and it comes to pass. So that's just something I want you to notice in here, that Brother Branham talks about how important it is that we pay attention to those angels. How many times has God tried to do something for us and he sent an angel and we don't pay attention to it? That's another mystery. Maybe just because the Roman Catholics have in their catechism, we believe in angels. Well, that's a Roman Catholic doctrine. No, it's not. That's a Bible doctrine. You find out the Catholics have got a lot of things right. The Baptists do. The Pentecostals do. A lot of people got things right, but then a lot of people things that. But people in the message have gone and they've twisted or introduced something to it. But I want to find this Christ, the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
And Brother Bam talks about, you know, that even when this comes, there's, because people have comments, they come and they come with questions. He said pages full of them. The strain it's on him. And I guess this really spoke to me last week when I first read this, because at that time I think, well, Brother David Figueroa came to see me, and I couldn't hardly talk to him because the phone was ringing. But and other people have a problem. But Brother Bam talked about the strain, the questions, the people, the troubles, the problems they had. Well, it's no different today. But God has the answer to that.
Yeah.
And then Brother Bam says, well, I don't feel like preaching this morning. I want to make this a Sunday school lesson. Now, don't take that lightly. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a difference in preaching and trying to teach somebody something. Because when you're preaching, you've got this theological, ecumenical flow. You flow through there and homiletics and so forth and this and that. But when you're teaching, you say this and go on this subject here and you come back and bring this scripture and tie this in. And Brother Branham felt more relaxed in bringing this as a Sunday school lesson than he did preaching an inspirational service.
Right.
Now, when he really, after he reads the text of worth, gets into it, he brings out a thought I want you to really notice. And he talks about the importance of love. And he makes this statement. It's above everything. Now, if you want scripture for that, though you have all this and you have not love, nothing. So what do you have to have first? You have to have the love. If you don't have it, then you're wasting your time.
Yes. Amen.
Now, he said, whenever a church comes in and this starts working and the Holy Spirit comes in, they get this love. He said, Satan won't let it stay that way. He said, he will come in and he will inject poison. He'll find somebody and get something started in the church and all this. And you know, I think of this political election going on right now. You know, it looked like Obama just coast along here fine, and then along come Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and he's injected this and everything else, and now that nobody's talking about Obama, they're talking about Reverend Wright. Well, you know, it's the same thing with us. We can get something here, and there could be a move and everything else, and just the least little thing come up. Maybe somebody don't like this song, or somebody don't like what this one did, or hey, this over here went on, and just get that, and the first thing you know, that's all that's being talked about.
Yeah. Amen.
And Brother Branham said, you don't do that. He said, don't take sides with that.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Keep fellowship.
Yes. Amen.
And he said, remain with quietness in your spirit. Don't get upset about it and tore up and, well, this, I don't like that. When you do that, how's the Holy Spirit going to deal with you?
Amen.
How's the dove going to come in there? Where's that gentle spirit? And he said, do not clan together. Well, he agrees with me and I agree with him, but he said, don't get clannish. And Brother Bam said, now, if you really know what I teach about this, he said, go to the tapes. Well, you know, that's what I felt when I came out here, that, man, this would be a utopia. All we had to do if we had a problem, we'd just go hear what Brother Bram said about it on tape. Everybody would agree. But, you know, not everybody does that.
Amen.
Everybody's got their different interpretations of it and so forth. But then he brings out the danger of malice and the poison of bitterness. You just get your feelings hurt. You get offended about this, or you get that, and you just it just don't do you any good anymore. And then he gets to his text. He's about 45 minutes deep in this. Then he gets to his text. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 29. And he makes this statement. Read the complete chapter.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you now, but that's what I want you to do between now and next week. And I want you to read the complete chapter. Colossians chapter 1. And then he tells us the title of his sermon, of this lesson. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now, look what he says about this. He said, this has been God's purpose from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
This is a hidden mystery. This is a secret. And then he brings in and he talks about the seventh mystery, the seventh seal, the silence. He says, all we know about it is the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And oh my, what exhortations you can get on that when he comes along and says, this is the threefold purpose and this is that mystery. And then he talks about where we get the authority for all this is from the Bible. If you can't read it in the Bible, well, then where'd you get it from? It has no authority without the Bible. I say that about Brother Branham's message. If Brother Branham preaches something and there's no scripture about it, he doesn't have any authority to preach it.
True.
Some people put his message above the Bible. He didn't do that himself.
Amen.
He comes back and he said, didn't Jesus say, search? Didn't Paul say, search the scriptures?
Amen.
Search the scriptures?
And
here's a statement I like that Brother Branham makes. You'll find Christ in every verse.
Amen.
If you don't find him in there, you're reading it wrong somewhere.
Amen.
If you've got something you believe and you find one verse of Scripture against it, you can't take it from Genesis to Revelation, you've got it wrong. And he makes some statements about it'd be like an artist painting a picture and putting the cow eating grass out of the top of the tree.
Yeah.
Or it'd be like a guy fishing out in the desert. I told the brothers not. I said, you know, I've read history, and I've never heard anybody else make those remarks. That's Brother Branham's description. I've never heard anybody else say, well, brother, you got that, and it looks like a picture of a cow eating grass out of the top of a tree. If you don't have things right, you got it wrong. Or a guy fishing in the middle of the desert. Those are a couple of examples Brother Branham gave us. I want the cow eating in a green pasture.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be sitting on the bank with a guy fishing in a lake where there's some fish in there. So that's the things I'd like for you to look for and observe tonight when you see this come there. So just sing Only Believe with me, and then we'll let Brother Bram start this. Yes, only believe.
Only
believe. All things are possible. Things are possible, only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. You want to believe tonight?
Yeah.
All right. God bless you. Brother Branham. Pleasure to have his voice on tape.
Thank you, Brother. God bless you. Just remain standing a moment while we bow our heads for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are approaching Thee again this morning for mercy and for guidance of the Holy Spirit today as it's dawned upon us that we should meet together this morning and to teach thy word, and that we might know how to live in this present day and what is the time of day that we're living. We'd ask thy holy guidance to our thoughts, our hearts today, that you would direct us to every word that is necessary for us to know, that you'd open our mouths freely and our hearts also to receive, and that which you would speak to us, and would close our mouths to the things that are not right, knowing that only you can reveal the Word of God. And now as I have to leave the little church right away now for the other parts of the world, I'm committing them to Thee, Lord, which they are part, the apple of my heart, as to say they are the ones that's been begotten to You by the Spirit and by the Word of truth. I pray that You'll bless them, Lord, and keep them closely knitted together by the bonds of the love of Christ. Bless our dear beloved pastor, the shepherd. We pray that You'll anoint him with the Holy Spirit of Thy Word and reveal to them and feed the flock. As once, just a while ago, when You showed the vision at the little tabernacle here, but to store up the food, that there would come a time when this would all be needed. When we've seen Brother Soffman and Brother Woods ready to cross over into another country, but You said, store up this food here for the time. Lord, reverently I've tried to do that. And now this morning, in this lesson that we have thought of, I pray that You'll cap it all off, Lord, to show that You're God and this is Your Word and Your truth. Grant it, Lord, that the people might feed thereon and grow fat as it was in the grace of God, that they'd see that it's God's great mercy to us in this day. Bless all that's present and those who would like to be present, Father, and get glory to Thyself, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody know whether the Dow family, any of them, got down today or not? Sister Dow. Brother Brown, are you here, Brother Brown? Yes, I'm glad. And the Brother Dow is still with us. Wonderful. Brother Dow almost left us. See, we can't say too much or ask too much. He's already 21 years of past the time that God told him to live. That's an ordinary lifetime, of past the time that God told him he could live. But we had a call the other morning that he was dying, and we rushed up there, and the Lord God was really good to him and spared him. Just, I think he's ready and just waiting the coming of the Lord. But, you know, we all hold on to one another. We just... The old fellow is like a dad to me here. I remember him sitting right down here in the old tabernacle, the old part, when he, that light flashed across on that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Right out of there he come at about 87 or 88 years old on a stick. Come right up here and said, I want to go right in there and be baptized. Somebody went and got him some clothes. He couldn't wait till the next time. He had come right then. So I like that. He said the other day, I was talking to him, he said, you think I'm all right now, Brother Branham? I said, did you ever go to a doctor for a physical checkup? He said, yes, sir. I said, the doctor put stethoscopes in his ears and put them on your heart, see if your heart's beating right, and an electrocardiogram, and then blood pressure, urine test, and so forth. Instruments to find out where you're physical being. Now, the way he does that, he looks back on a book here where specialists on these different subjects writes down, if this takes place, this is what's wrong. And I said, now the only stethoscope that I have is the Bible thing, or the soul. And I said, I'm going to give you the test. I said, St. John 5:24 said, he that heareth my words. I said, that isn't just sitting listening to it, that's receiving it. receiving it. You believe it. Something inside of you tells you it's right. You've accepted it. You believe it. It's yours. He that heareth, it's already yours. My words. And believeth on him that sent me. You believe that? He said, I do. I said, then I'll tell you what the chief doctor said. He's passed from death unto life.
Amen.
And shall no more come into condemnation or judgment. I said, as far as I know, according to the books, you passed the examination. That old man, nearly 100 years old, not a church man at all, but just the first time that light flashed across his path, he received it. See that predestinated seed laying there? See, as soon as the light strikes it, it comes to life right quick. Now, I know it's hot today, and it looks like it's hard for me to call you people together for a service where you sit jammed in like this, but yet I thought by the grace of God that I would have another service before I had to leave you all for a short season, I trust. And I've got to go now tomorrow night to Chicago to begin Wednesday. I thought I'd get there a little early if possible and rest up a little before beginning a series of service. And I believe they got it here. I was looking at it right here. It's advertised up there. It's called the Marengo area. Yeah. Marengo Arena. It's worth to be held beginning Wednesday night through Sunday. And the Full Gospel Businessman has a breakfast also on Saturday morning. And I don't know just exactly where they got that advertised for. No. And then Saturday evenings at the Lane Tech, I see here it's advertised. Now, if you're around in that area or up there, it's a regular evangelistic service like we have at any time. Most of the messages will be primarily on something that's been taught here, because here's where we make our tapes, you see. Out there they can fuss, but if they get tapes made from here, that's up to them if they want to listen to any tape. It comes right from here. This is our own pulpit. So out there, usually I'll try to pick around on something not very deep, because many of them are shallow in experience and what comes in. But here I feel I have a right to say whatever God puts up on my heart to say it from right here. So our tapes are all made from right here. And they're right in the room there now. You can see their heads up over the cloud of glass in there where they're sitting with their recorders. Now, if you want to come to the meeting, we'd be most happily to have you. Just if you get there, don't know just where to go, or just contact any of the Full Gospel people or Brother Carlson, and he'll tell you that's he can advise you, or the Philadelphian Church or any of them. They can tell you right how to get to the place. Then come back next Monday evening sometime, afternoon or evening. And Tuesday, we'll go back to Arizona for put the children in school and so forth. And then I don't know just exactly when to be back again, because the Lord, I want him to lead me just on what to do. A very strange thing happened. I know this is taped, and I might as well place it on here. And right while visions and leadings of the Holy Spirit is moving, I like to strike just exactly while it's a moving. That's... Now, in the last year, it's been one of the most highest time for visions that I've ever had in all my ministry. It's been this last year of things that has taken place that you people know that is foretold before it happens, and it happens just the way it said. Now, we come back here and to visit the climate in this place. I certainly don't like, because just breaks me down as soon as I get here. And I can cross the top of the knobs up there and come down in this valley, and I'm here about 10 minutes and I got hives. Get sick. Weather, swimmy headed. Everything looks spooky dark. And I just have to get out of it, see? And the other day I was talking to the wife, but what brings me in here is you people. See? This church, I tell you, of all the places I went in my life, this is my favorite place to come preach the gospel.
Amen.
And looks like if we can make a tape from here, it's 10 times better than anywhere else. See, that's the reason I say, where God's doing something, and stay right with that. But I think where the great thing is, that's me failing to go out at the first time when he called me, and therefore he makes it kind of rough on me when I come in. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And then I'll be coming back and forth all the time, preaching in the tabernacle, and you people that's from out of town, you'll be notified. Billy Paul will be here right in the office, and you can be reached at any time through him. And we'll be coming back here, and then the seven trumpets is coming up right away, the Lord willing. Seven last plagues in the vials and so forth, just as we can get a little cooler weather maybe or something, however the Lord leads. And now, the other day, coming in, there was a question brought up about something about someone had given me a check and said, personally, exactly, just to me and me only, tax paid free, everything else. Well, we went and Billy knew that I kind of had need of that check. Now, he went and asked the attorneys if we could cash it. He said, well, he's an American citizen. Why can't he cash it? See, says tax paid and everything else free. Any citizen can do that. So then he couldn't be satisfied with that, Billy. So he goes to the public accountant. He said, well, certainly he can cash that. Said he's a citizen of the United States. So, well, he couldn't think good about that, so he called Merle Miller. That's the head of the tax association at Indianapolis. There was our attorneys. And so I said, Miller, so sure, it's all right. See? Sure he can have that check. It's made out to him and Dorsey only. I can only one can endorse it, so forth. And it couldn't be stamped with RC. I don't cash no checks. That's what they got me for the other time. Somebody bring in a bunch of checks and say, here, Brother Branham, at the meeting, I'd say, William Branham. Well, the government's taking care of all that whole time. And I signed them to myself and was paying the debts out there, but they said I owed delinquent taxes on all of it anyhow, $300,000. So then that's where the fuss came. So then as soon as I put this check in, whammy, here come the agent right back, said we'll reopen the case for him now. So it made it kind of rough. And Brother Lee Vail sitting here, I guess it's all right to say it, he'd come down, and this fine scholar Baptist here had, I baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ here in the pool the other day, Brother Lee Vail. And so he's really a fine man, a brother in Christ. He's preached for us here before, and highly intellectually educated, and besides that, a spirit-led man. And the light flashed across him. He said he'd tried to get away, but just couldn't do it. So I baptized him right here in the morning. Couldn't stand it any longer, so we just come down here, put on our clothes, and went in and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I thought, being you'd taken that fine spiritual food, maybe to talk a little bit, we'd take some natural food. So he goes over to Blue Board, sits down, was talking, and the subject come up, how can you let people talk about you like that? Now, Brother Vail, one of the finest men I ever know, but he's just a little too quick on the trigger, I always told him, you know. And so, So I said, I hope that's all right, Brother Vail. So I said, don't fly loose all at once. Set still. God's the ones are doing it. He said, oh, it might be all right for you. He said, I believe he's so smart. So that's what he's been meeting, those smart intellectual people. So he just knows how to pour it in there, and they ain't got no place to stand. That's all. So I said, look, Brother Vail was sitting at the Blue Boar. I said, David, one day after being thrown from the throne by his own son, run off the throne, mutiny, Israel divided, and David took off the throne by his own son and was going out of the city weeping, and a guy that didn't like his last day message, you know, he didn't care for him, little old fella kind of crippled up, going along there, making fun of him, and he spit on David. And that guard drew that sword, said, I'll let the head of that dog stay on him, spit on my king. David said, let him alone. The Lord told him to do that. Spit on him, making fun of him, and then spit on him. So the Lord told him to do that. Well, we know the story, how it returned back. Brother Vail thought that took a whole lot of grace to do that. So no more coming back and entering the office. A public accountant called Billy Paul and told him about this. So Brother Vail went up the house with me. And I walked in. I said to the wife, long about sometime in the afternoon, we went in the room. I said, I got something to tell you, honey. We'd just been talking, four left. She said, Bill, I know that God sent you out there. We all know that. But he never told you to come back. He said, "Now, that's where I'm worried about." I said, "Well, I think it's for you and the children. Don't matter for me. I'm going to serve him, Lord willing, wherever I go." And so I walked back and I told her about it like that. So I just turned around, laid my head up, and somebody said something about, "Oh, this tax collector, who ought to I just kind of raid it out," or something like that. Not thinking of what I told Brother Vail, I said, "Let him alone. Maybe the Lord told him to do that." I no more said that till a light flashed on the wall and wrote across there, "Brother Vail, my wife sitting there, come on back to Arizona," with letters wrote across the wall, "Come on back to Arizona." That's right. So here I go, amen, back to Arizona. Now, this week has been a week of great blessings. We had private interviews this week of people who have been waiting since the seven seals. And I don't doubt, but some of them, of course, was called in from out of the town across the nation. But the morning before the interview started, sitting in the room, the Holy Spirit let me write out exactly everything they knew, everything they wanted to ask, rotate the questions just the way they wanted to, and tell them their dreams and interpretation before they ever told me. Now, the people are in the room here, there, and I go ahead and let them talk and say, "Well, Brother Branham, I come such and such." I said, "Now, remember, we have assembled here not for fellowship. We haven't come here to fellowship with one another. There is a question in your mind, in your heart, that you stumbled into and you don't know what it is, and maybe I'll be able, by the help of God, to do it." I said, "Remember, the Queen of the South had some questions, too, when she came to Solomon. And the Bible said there was nothing revealed or held back to what Solomon couldn't answer for." Now I said, "A greater than Solomon is here." Yeah, that's right. "The Lord Jesus promised, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them."
Amen.
Whatsoever thing they can think of or desire and shall ask, it shall be given to them. And now your question is something you don't know about, something you don't know how to approach about, something you don't know what to do about. And I said, again, the Scripture said this, that the angels of God are encamped about those who fear Him. So in another world where the five senses does not declare, the five senses only contacts this world. If you had no feeling, you couldn't feel nothing. Feeling wouldn't be nothing to you. That'd be another world. If you had no sight, what you look at would be another world. You'd know nothing about it. So these five senses is the only thing that God let us loose to. Now there is another one called faith. But by faith you walk up a ladder. And finally, you can get so high until you break into another world, which is vision. There you can see, just like if you never know what this was you was feeling with your sense of feeling, never seen it, then your eyes come open, you can see it. It'd be all mystery to that person who never could see. It'd be a mystery to him, but yet that's it. And in there, the Lord, before we got here, to people from across the country, everywhere, from north, south, west, come in for these interviews, and as soon as they get through talking, just exactly the questions they would ask, the thing that they would ask about, I'd say, "Watch here." Raise over, and there was a piece of paper with every question and rotate, just exactly the way they asked it, was going to ask it. Their answer down here to their question, just the way it was answered out. The Lord is great. He knows all things. But yet, take me about 3 days to come out of that afternoon. What it was, such a teardown. And now, I thought to get it all before we left, and there is the proper way, the real way, to individuals. Now, these things can be said, and if the people share that knows that secrets of hearts that was revealed, that would absolutely, it would be horrible. It caused crime, it caused somebody to shoot another or something, if that be revealed right here at the platform like this, in a pub, in before the public. It would cause penitentiary offenses and everything else. But when you're sitting together like that, the Holy Spirit, just two of you together, but we understand this, that what they ask me is private. I say nothing about it. And what I say to them, it's up to them whether they want to say it or not. But it's be no one between us, the interview. That's taking the person one by a time and sitting there until everything is completely settled. See? The Holy Spirit. And then to think of the grace of the Holy Spirit telling me all about it to each one, a whole line of them, before they ever even got here across the country, coming people I've never seen in life. And write it out so that they'd know it's a routine according to the questions, the way they would answer it. One brother had questions on the serpent seed that I didn't get to answer just exactly because her little half hour was up. I hope that he got it all right, the answers to it on the paper. He had it wrote out, and he didn't get to all of his answers, so I just give him the writing back, the answers on the paper. If he hasn't, Billy Paul has it. I know the man sitting here, I just looked at him just a few moments ago, so if he wants to find that, it's wrote out on a piece of paper, your answers to your question. Now, oh, how good the Lord is. I hope everybody's feeling good. Amen. And now let's us remember, and now when I pray for these handkerchiefs, to remember Brother Dow. He's a precious brother, and we want to remember him in prayer. And I see Brother Ungren, but I can't see Sister Ungren anywhere, whether she's all right now. Yes, sitting right out from him, sure, yeah. I'm glad, because we was called out the other night in just an emergency case of her and her daughter, sister, Downey, run off the road, and just the grace of God, they had both been crushed to pieces right there. And here they come right on the church, got on a train, and come on. I'll never forget you all. I love you. God knows that. I love you. How across the country through slick weather, when I look at some brother here from Georgia and Alabama and different places and Tennessee and around, where they ride their car down the road where the ice slides and back and forth like that, to come here for one service. When I had that emergency call to Brother Dow the other day, I didn't realize that Lyme, Ohio was so far away. Yes, I thought that's a little skip, hop, and a jump, but my, I left here real early that morning, never got there till 1 o'clock that afternoon, driving everything the speed limit would allow, and on dual highway. And I think how close that is to way down in the south, the way these other people come from, way out in the north and west, where they come. I love you. And that's the reason I try to be deadly sincere here. And the old timers, I see Brother Creech, them sitting back there now, and ones that's been with me all these years and things, and how we come up together. I was looking at Mary Jo's picture, I believe it was a couple nights ago, just a little bitty tiny thing when we first met. Now she's married, I guess, and got children. Brother Creech and Sister Creech, young, black-headed, and median eye, and here we are, gray and stooped over. See, there's something about people like that that grips you. See? You want to stay with them. See, there's something other that always makes your mind pull back. Just giving them for examples to others that cheer, young and old, we look forward for the coming of the Lord. So this morning, I have put it in my heart to teach a Sunday school lesson here this morning, God willing, for a length of time. This being my last service for a little while, as far as I know, and I want you to remember that Brother Neville, you're left in the church in the charge of this tabernacle under the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he's left here, and he believes this message and teaches it just the same as I do. Amen. All right? And any time you can see fit to come to hear Brother Neville, he certainly would do you good, I'm sure. Amen. The great servant of Jesus Christ. I've known Armand Neville since I was a little boy. And he hasn't changed one speck, only got closer to God. Okay. I remember when I first saw him, I was invited to his Methodist platform. And when I come back here at the tabernacle, I said, someday I'll baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. And here he is with the message now, going on, a real gallant servant. And Brother Neville goes through many strains and heartaches that he doesn't show it here at the tabernacle. But being that the Lord lets me have a little sight into people's life, I know what he goes through, a whole lot of it, see. And he certainly goes under a lot of labor and strains and things, and you people here hold him up like Joshua and Caleb held up the hands of Moses as he's bringing the word. Love one another above everything. Love one another. Amen. Don't, no matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. See? Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. He'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and set him down and cause him to fellowship with you, other quietness and things. Then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or everhood is it. Pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. See? He's the shepherd and you give him respects. He'll lead you through. And because he's ordained of God to do so. Now do you remember that? The enemy will come. And when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among one or talk and make yourself clannish. We are one.
Amen.
I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another.
Amen.
Right with one another. And now, you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline of the church. How we behave ourselves in the church of God. How we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder.
Amen.
To get in here, to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to pray in. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to much more as we see that day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places and Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one for the other. That's right. Stay right together. If the brother you think he's a little wrong or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me ever have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ right out of my life.
Amen.
That poison assets of malice and jealousy and hatred, that'll just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It'll run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor, it'll do everything, see? Don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together. Draw up take the buckle, as a brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seen it in a vision. Just that buckle's on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow.
Amen.
Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another.
Amen.
And then God will bless you.
Wow.
Now, this morning, the Lord willing, by His help and grace, I got quite a bunch of questions here, scriptures rather. And now before we approach it, I think I heard the recorders click on in there. We are going to bring the message now by God's grace. First, a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, speaking to this body of the church, that they should hold together with God's unchanging hand their absolute, the Word, warning them as Paul warned his flock that there be wolves enter in. You're the same God today as you were then, and that enemy is the same. May this fellowship and bonds of love always exist amongst these people in Christ Jesus. Help this morning, Lord, as we read the Word. May the Holy Spirit reveal it to us, that the church might be fully established in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To hold them, and may, as you gave the vision some 2 years ago, to store up the food. Fine, healthy-looking vegetables that I saw in the vision being stored here in this tabernacle. May we today receive a whole barrel full of that. Grant it, Lord, or a tape load, that it might reveal Jesus Christ to us in the hour that we live, to give us sustaining strength, spiritual strength, for the task that lays ahead. Grant it, Father. Bless these thy children. They're in here this morning from many different parts of the nation. Hot, sticky morning, But yet we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in all this. We think of John Wesley and Calvin and Sankey and Knox, Finney, and many of those, even without electric fan, where people sat in halls and perspiration running down their faces. The women, well covered and dressed, sat in the audiences and perspired till their clothing was soaking wet, listening to the Word of God, feeding their souls. Now we feel, Lord, that they're at rest somewhere yonder, waiting the coming of the Lord. Keep us together, Father. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us. Give us long life of service for you. Give us this great message this morning that we're expecting out of thy word, that it might go to each heart. Make the lips that speak, Lord, speak truth. Make the heart that hears be fertile to receive truth.
Amen.
And may it grow into great trees of eternal life, to be shining lights and red epistles of all man. Wow. They might know that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and lives among us. Make us so full of love and the fruit of the Spirit until other men and women, boys and girls can see the results of the life of Christ still living in us after 2,000 years from the great event. Grant it, Father, to honor Thee, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to read some out of the Scriptures, and I trust now that you've got your pencils and papers and everything ready. And Brother Neville, you're sitting still. I'm just going to take my coat off.
Yeah, that's right.
Excuse me for taking off my coat, but this is awfully warm up here. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. And then while we read this, beginning with, I want you, when you go home, to read the entire chapter of these Colossians, but I want you to read this morning with me from the 15th verse, 29th inclusive. And now just be as patient as you can, for I feel that in this year, if God will help me, will reveal and bring into your mind all these other things that I've talked on all through the days of the tabernacle. Why I have said what I've said and why I have done what I have done. This is why. Now, from the 15th verse, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible, were they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should be all fullness dwell. Should all fullness dwell. Let me put a little emphasis on that again, this 19th verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Watch where that reconciliation went. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is bound behind of the affections of Christ in flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from age and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. I want to read that verse again. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. Now, for a text, I want to take out of there this for a text, basing it upon the entire Bible, but I want to title this, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Christ being the Mystery of God Revealed. Now, I took it in order as a Sunday school lesson so we could all read together and have this fellowship together. Now, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship and there wasn't nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love, in him was to be Father, in him was to be Son, in him was to be a Savior, in him was to be a Healer. All these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God.
Amen.
So my opinion...
That's it. Now that's the sermon right there.
Amen.
That's the verse he takes it from, and that's Brother Branham's comments. Now he takes the next 2.5 hours to go ahead and explain step by step how God had this secret and wanted it manifest. Now, we understand the fatherhood, we understand Jesus the Son, but what we really need to grasp in this is the third manifestation of it, and that's God in us.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Right.
That's the mystery.
Amen.
That you and I are longing for in our hearts right now. God bless you. Now we'll probably start back and read the scriptures again, but why don't you just read the entire chapter of Colossians and get ready for that. In Sunday morning service, remember, prayer service starts at 9:00 with the brothers here Sunday morning. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you tonight as you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Sing it as you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.